Let's pray for God's help. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the encouragements you give us. Thank you that so many of our young people are growing up knowing about you. So, Father, please be with us as we tackle a difficult topic, as we think about things that we don't normally want to talk about. But, Father, we know that they are important to talk about. So please help us, help me, to speak clearly and help us to be encouraged where we need to be and challenged where we need to be as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as Rob said, we're carrying on in our penultimate talk in our series, Caring for One Another. And we're thinking through what it means to care for one another, and will involve talking. Caring for one another, we care for one another like God cares for us. And this morning we're talking about sin. I know I probably should have warned you at the door, it's not fair that you're now stuck, but we've got to talk about it. Because, sadly, hypocrisy sells. Hypocrisy sells, doesn't it? The secret sins of others, once exposed, become sensational stories. This happens inside and outside the church. You may not have seen it, but there has been significant news of this kind in the evangelical sphere. A well-known and respected minister has been accused, with evidence, of physical and spiritual abuse. Deeds that he won't admit were wrong. Deeds that have damaged a lot of people up and down the country. The news has caused hurt, and the name of Jesus has been maligned. Sin is deadly. Sin is serious. We need to talk about it. That's what this morning is all about. Can you remember our calling as a church? It's simple. We're to care for one another's souls. That is our job. If we call St. George's our church, we're committed to one another. We're committed to put each other first. Remember, we do this with all humility. We all need care, and we all need each other. All of us have messy hearts that respond to the circumstances around us. We need to be humble enough to admit our weakness to one another, to ask for help in prayer, because we all need help. All of us in various ways will suffer, and that's not all that we do. All of us sin. All of us do. I certainly do, just ask my wife. I sin, you sin. The nice people do it, and the not so nice people do it. Why is it that we're happy to let someone know if we're suffering, but we're not happy to admit our struggles with sin? Maybe all of us have the same issue. Do we fear people more than God? In other words, do we care too much about what other people think and not enough about what God thinks? It's an issue I have, and I know I'm not the only one. Church ought to be a safe space, but we're scared. Sometimes we are rightly scared about being judged by others or looking weak. Can be very easy, especially in a place of visible success, like Poynton. Very easy to hide our weakness so we can look successful. Our church is very good at looking good and hiding weakness. But if we do that, we're harming others to benefit ourselves. We're robbing each other the chance to care for one another's souls. Because, as Paul writes to the Corinthians, God's power is made perfect in weakness. So we need to go to my favourite Bible writer for help on this. We need to talk about sin for two reasons. The first one is in 1 John, and that is God is light. God is light. John is writing to a church like ours with lots of encouragements and issues, like ours. It's the same John who wrote John's gospel. He has seen and heard the word of life, Jesus Christ. And that is his main concern. God is life and God is light. Did you see that in verse 5? This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. God is light. He is perfect. He is good. There is no blemish, no mistake, no change in God. He is light. He is pure. He is without sin. He is blindingly holy. In the Old Testament, when Moses glimpsed something of God, he had to cover his face when he came back to the people, because his face was gleaming, because God is light. We can't just look at God. We'd be blinded. It's like we can't stare directly at the sun, or whenever there's an eclipse, someone does very well selling all those special glasses. God is light. So why does that matter? Well, look at how John links what God's like to what we're like in verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we are walking in darkness, we lie and do not do what is true. Sin matters. Sin matters. If we claim that we know God, but our life doesn't show it, then we are liars. This doesn't mean we have to speak out loud every single sin we do and don't do, because we literally would be here till Christmas, 2059. We're talking about an attitude of openness. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his son cleanses us from all sin. Being in the light means being in fellowship with God and each other. Light shines, light exposes. If we walk in that exposed light, we are in relationship with God. We share in who God is. We're part of his family. Sin matters. Sin matters to God, and it matters to each other. Verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Sin matters because sin is personal. Sin is personal. Sin affects one in one people. It definitely affects me. If you don't think it does, you don't know me very well. Definitely affects me. It definitely affects you. But perhaps we come up with excuses. Perhaps we think, oh, do you know what? Sin doesn't matter. Sin's an old word that gets hijacked by chocolate companies as a way of selling their items. Well, we think sin doesn't matter because we just don't see ourselves that way. We're not as bad as other people. Or maybe we just use that old line, Jesus took my sin away. In one sense, that's true, he did, because he took the punishment our sin deserves. But he has not made us perfect. We are not sinless in the here and now. Sin still dwells within us. There is a spiritual battle. If you get time this afternoon, read through Paul's anguish about this in Romans 7. Do you see yourself that way? Maybe we use another excuse. Well, only other people's sin matters. You know, I'm okay. Do we have an attitude like this cartoon? You're all on tenterhooks. Here we go. We take it, Vicar, that your point Your pointed reference to all us sinners naturally does not include Mr. and Mrs. P.J. Thripps of 23 Wisteria Villas. Perhaps you could make that clearer next Sunday. Maybe you're thinking, yes, we're all sinners, but Alan, you don't mean me. I mean, come on. We think other people's sin matters and not ours. We have this natural desire, don't we, to elevate ourselves, even if that means condemning other people. But that's not how sin works. It affects all of us just as much. The only difference might be some people are more obvious, more visibly messy. Others of us are so good at concealing our sin that we look sinless. And that's something that needs to change if we are to care for one another. Notice verse 10, what we are saying if we deny that sin is a problem. Verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. What we think about ourselves is linked to what we think about God. If you deny that you are a sinner, you are calling God a liar. That is heresy, because God cannot lie. Denying your sinfulness is the same as saying, I don't believe what the Bible says. The two go hand in hand, and we see that especially in arguments in and out of church that are trying to make good what the Bible calls bad. Sin is a problem. We need to talk about it. It is healthy to talk about it. In fact, John tells us that church is the right place to talk about our personal sin. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is why we say a confession together. It's healthy. It's reminding us of who we are and what we need. We say it together. We do not have a special box that Rob or I sit in and you queue up and tell us all of your problems. We do it together because it affects us all. Talking about sin does not mean lording it over one another, because I am a sinner first. Paul writes in 1 Timothy that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. That is Paul saying that. It's a verse I say about myself. I am the worst of sinners. We all are. But thankfully, that is not the end of the story, because the way that the traditional communion service is structured is that confession comes before communion, because it levels us out so that we are ready to read what the service calls comfortable words. Those words that John gives us at the start of chapter 2. If anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation or atoning sacrifice for our sins. God is light. Secondly, God is love. God is love. Please do turn back to John 3 on page 96. We're picking up a conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus, who was one of the prominent religious leaders. If you remember, we looked at this passage earlier this year when we started our one-to-one series. Note with me how John sets the scene in verse 2. He came to Jesus by night. Nicodemus is in the dark. He likes to be in the dark because then you can't be spotted. Did any of you try that old trick when you pretended to tidy your bedroom and what you did, we just flick the light off and hope they wouldn't notice? Just me. Didn't work, but there you go. Nicodemus visits Jesus at night. in the darkness. Think about it, it's really weird. Nicodemus goes to visit the light of the world in the darkness. Well, what does Nicodemus need? Verse 3, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Being born again, brand new, a fresh start. That's what Jesus offers us, new life through the lifting up of the light of the world. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. The punishment for our sin is taken away. When God looks at us, he looks at us the way the Father looks at Jesus. We are born again. But that doesn't mean we're perfect. That is coming when Jesus comes back. Sin still lingers. We're not perfect. But God, the Spirit, is with us, in us, helping us in the fight. It's a spiritual battle. So we need to talk about sin. We need to talk about our sin. We've already spoken about communion and public confession, but what about our accountability? We've talked a lot about being open and honest with one another, haven't we? Whether that's in a one-to-one or a home group setting. Why is it we're so happy to talk about suffering but not sin? To do that, we need a bigger view of God and a smaller view of each other. We can't hide anything from God because he knows everything and he is everywhere. God knows that one thing that you have never told anybody else. And yet he still loves you. And we're not to be in the business of building reputations for ourselves or crafting other people's opinions. Being honest about our weakness will help us practice our forgiveness, our humility, and our honesty. And the book this series is based on, Caring for One Another, gives good practical advice. Remember, we're all sinners first. Remember that sin is personal. Look for the good things. And if you want to talk to someone about sin, use questions rather than a damning indictment. It's going to mean hard conversations, not brushing things under the carpet, or letting things happen in our church that shouldn't. Church discipline is a biblical practice, if it's done in the context of humility and caring for one another's souls. It's not about being judgmental. It's about being loving. It requires relationship, humility, and boldness to be honest about our sin. A healthy church is not one that looks the part. A healthy church is one that regularly and really confesses their sins in and out of the service for the good of one another's souls and growth in Christ. Please remember that. This requires self-examination, which shouldn't be an alien concept to us, because in every communion service, that is what we are encouraged to do. Is there a sin in my life that I know about but nobody else does? Is there a sin in my life that is carrying on unchecked? In other words, ask yourself, is there something I think, say, or do that should bother me, but doesn't? That is self-examination. That is what we need to be thinking. If we call this church our church, part of the package is being honest with one another about our struggles. And we need to create safe spaces to do this, such as a one-to-one or with one or two people that you trust. And depending on the nature of the issue, speaking only to someone of the same gender as you would be appropriate. I have two friends, two male friends, who know that there are no question is off limits. They can ask me about any aspect of my life, and I need to tell them the truth. It's scary. It's humiliating. But they're not trying to get points over me, because I do the same thing to them. We do this because we love each other and we care about our walk in the light. Maybe you're sitting here thinking, I feel really uncomfortable right now. I can't wait until lunchtime, because then I can have a nice chat with someone and this will all go away. Well, curates like me are like bad pennies. We always turn up and we're always persistent. Do not let this talk pass you by. So easy to ignore it. I'm not going to talk about sin. There's no one in church I could feel comfortable opening up to about that. If that's the case, all of us really need to work on our friendliness. If that is you, if you don't want to talk about your sin, you need to read 1 John again. If you're not willing to talk about sin, then you are missing out and you're not getting the most out of church. Jesus said to the religious leaders, didn't he, that healthy people don't need doctors. The sick do. That's why he came. We're sick. We need healing. He has done that for us through the blood of his cross. And sin still persists. We are in a battle. I'm very happy to talk to you about my sin, if you want. But don't use that as an excuse to not talk about yours. I don't want to see point in using gossip full of, this is what the curate did on the weekend. Let's remember to help each other to lean on the doctor, who is light and life. Let's pray. Father God, this is hard. This is not easy. Because we risk being humiliated, being judged, being looked down on. Father, please help us to have a healthy attitude towards our sin. Help us to know that Jesus has conquered it and that it has not completely gone away yet. And it will not do that until Jesus comes back. Help us to help one another in the battle, to encourage each other to persevere, to keep going. And help us to have an honest and healthy understanding of ourselves and one another. Please, would this not be a church where we lord it over others and look down on those who are brave enough to show their weakness? Please, would we not do that? Would we be a church marked by our humility, our honesty, and our love?